Chairman for the Americans with Disability Advisory Committee. And good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We want to thank you for allowing us to come before you today and to share a little bit of what we do. We realize that some of you are new to the commission, and we want to share our vision and some of the things that we do. This summer has marked the 29th anniversary for the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA has prohibited discrimination against individuals with disabilities. It ensures equal opportunity for people with disabilities in employment, state and local services, public accommodations, commercial facilities, and transportation. This is a statement that was issued by the EEOC Chairman, Jenny R. Lang. This statement holds true for the ADA Advisory Committee for the department as well, as we endeavor to bring access and opportunities for hunting and fishing in the state of Washington. With the persons of disabilities and others that normally wouldn't have availability to those opportunities. We've only been working a short while as a department to provide these accesses for people with disabilities. Despite the 29 years of the ADA being in action, we're making headway each year as a committee, but many of the people that we represent still don't know what we have available to them and what we represent for them. The Department of Fish and Wildlife, through you, this committee, is striving to give those persons with disabilities equal access and opportunities throughout our state. The ADAAC is comprised of persons with disabilities. My compatriots are here with me today, and there's seven of us. We just lost one member, but there's six of us right now. And each one of us is a disabled hunter and fisher as well. We see firsthand the difficulties to access certain areas of the state for those opportunities. And we hear from the disabled hunters and fishermen when we're out in the field and for the different committees, because each of us, this isn't the only thing that we do. Each one of us is on a committee of some sort of conservation group or an outdoorsman's group of some kind, to where we hear firsthand from the people in our state the difficulties that they face, whether they're a disabled veteran or if they're just a person in the community that has been disabled in some form. We also read their stories of success, and we also see their disappointments. In the booklet before you are some of the wonderful successes that have been accomplished over the past couple of years. As you can see, we are a team that has gotten a lot done in the last couple of years. A few years ago, the team was comprised of people that weren't doing that. But thanks to you, the commission, and the department for changing your evaluation on team members, we have turned that around, and we have been a great benefit to the Department of Fish and Wildlife in the last couple of years. Along with getting things done, we are limited at times by the opportunities and availabilities that come to us. We're eager to take on the physical work to get it done because we have many volunteer groups that help us with those, and they're eager and willing to help us. They are the ones that help us with matching funds from their constituents, and they're also eager to help us with the projects that we come up with. What we need from the commission today is we need to be able to fund and back the opportunities for these projects to make them a reality for many of the people that we represent with disabilities. We understand, and maybe only in part, the difficulties with the budget that the state legislature has put upon the department. But we also know that there are those in the legislature who have seen what we are doing. They're backing us and they're supporting us, and they want to see us accomplish what needs to happen for the peoples with disabilities in our state. At this time, I would like to share some of the different things that go on in our regions. And with me I have Region 1 Representative Ron Zubrick, and from Region 5 I have Rick Spring. So with that, I'm going to let them share a little bit about what's going on in their individual regions. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning. Let's remember the microphone, right? So some of the things that have been going on me, this finishing up or partway into year two for me. When I came last year, I had talked about some of the things that I had already seen. Being also connected with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council and working closely with them, again, like Dan said, matching funds, things like that, we've started to add to the platforms that we've started putting out in different public lands for accessibility. A lot of those being connected with the road access program, things like that. We've looked at starting to modify some of them, making them even more accessible. Recently, I received a video from a group of people. They weren't hunters. They weren't anglers. It was people with disabilities that just went out observing wildlife, and they were using horses. And here was a picture of a person with a disability on a horse on a platform, being able to look out down in Rustler's Gulch at our beautiful outdoors, being able to take that stuff in. Some of the things that we're moving forward with, in June, St. Luke's Rehabilitation Institute does an annual fishing day at Bear Lake. My wife and I were asked to come out and do the adaptive archery. And so over the course of the day, we had 23 different people with disabilities send over 250 arrows downrange. On the way home, my wife asked me, "We don't have anything like this other than once a year." As a competitive archer for the National Veterans Wheelchair Team and as an archery hunter, one of the things that we're looking at, and I've been talking with Mr. Jim Sutton, who's one of our few certified archery hunter ed instructors, we're looking at developing a program that will provide mentoring, other resources, education, and even connecting people with adaptive archery equipment and things like that for out in all of Eastern Washington. One of the things that our committee has been really good at is collaborating. If Rick's got something that he feels might be helpful over on the east side of the state, we talk about that and we share that kind of information. A couple months ago, I was also at the Hunter Ed continuing education class, and they talked about R3 and R4. And in talking with the instructors that were there that day, one of the things that we're short, we're trying to get more people into the outdoors. And we talked about minorities, women, and persons with disabilities. And I asked them, how many hunter ed instructors do we have in the state that are women? And how many do we have that are persons with disabilities? And they said, it would take a little while. We could probably figure out how many women are in. We really don't have anything to track persons with disabilities. And so in talking with them, I was asked to start putting together something that we could add to our Hunter Ed program that would give more information for able-bodied hunters as well as persons with disabilities when it came to hunter education and ethical hunting. So one of the things that I've started to work with my team here and with others out on the eastern part of the state, I call it Element 5. We've got R3, R4, Element 5. That fifth element, rehabilitation. Being able to add things in there. How do we work with other people? Companion hunters, things like that. How does that really work? Especially with the new blue tag, there's still a lot of questions that come from that. We've been doing more and more conservation projects. We're down in the Blue Mountains a couple of months ago, working on removing old fencing, old barbed wire fencing. Persons with disabilities, there were a few of us that were out there, we were doing cleanup. And so some of the things that we're still looking at doing, we're developing a program. People get road access permits, and they get there, and all of a sudden they can't get in. I've been talking with Dolores about different ways, and we're getting some different groups that are saying, call us. It won't be immediate, but right away we're going to try to get someone out there in a couple of days, max, to get that area cleaned out. So we've continued doing our quarterly town hall meetings. In April, we did a full day of ADA outdoors seminar. We had a lot of adaptive equipment. We had an air bow. We had, it was an air crossbow, a lot of fishing pole holders, different things for persons maybe missing an arm, things like that. So we're continuing to listen for different problems. That's what those quarterly meetings are for. We're excited about the direction that things are going. We're always listening for more things, whether it be from the commission, from the Region 1 office, or from the folks out there. Been working a lot with the VA, with St. Luke's, with the Wildlife Council, and with my fellow committee members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet with you today. I've been here a couple times before, and it's always been fruitful. I'm in Region 5. We have been very, very active down in Region 5, bringing up developing projects that are ADA compatible. This last year, we built a trap shooting pavilion on state land, on Fish and Wildlife land. It was a beautiful project, turned out really nice, getting a lot of use. We're going to be hosting the National Veterans Wheelchair Olympics in our area this next year, and the trap shooting pavilion will be real useful for the contestants to use and train in. It's really an honor to have them bring on this program to us in our area. It was going to go to Spokane, but for some reason the plans changed, so we're really looking forward to that. You've seen the pictures of the pavilion. It turned out really, really nice. It was just a fabulous project. This year, we just finished funding with, I work with the Vancouver Wildlife League, and we just established funding. We're going to build a archery training area, shooting area at the Shilapu Wildlife Region. It's 50 by 100 feet long, so we'll have access in for all different kinds of use of archery equipment. Right now it's a co-used area, and the archery equipment gets left in the field, and we've had several dogs have been injured in this area. So we've taken on the burden of our organization is going to fund and sponsor and coordinate all that. Darren Hoswald is our local biologist, and he is a fabulous asset to the department. Hang on to that guy. He's really motivated to keep us all going. I surveyed an area in Region 1 by Squim for another one of our wildlife blinds. For one of our wildlife blinds. It's a beautiful area. It's on state land. We're always trying to put them on our fish and wildlife land. It's on an area that's got private owned blinds 100 yards from it, so it's in a perfect location, really good access, and cooperation from the local biologists has been just fabulous. So again, the project is going, the blind project is going really, really well. The managers in the regions are all looking forward to getting their own. People are really using it. Z's got a really good area out there because there's a lot of participation from the local conservation groups, so it's helping with a great deal of the funding. That's a big portion. And again, we're talking dollars and cents. And we put two of them in Sunnyside last year with fabulous results. Everybody's just enjoying them. The access is great, and the they're really having a lot of fun. At first, things started out kind of slow. We built seven of them in the state now, and it's really, really brought a new aspect. Again, the biggest problem is access for the disabled hunter. We don't realize when you can walk around really well or easily, how tough it is to get to a spot where you can really enjoy the day. In the past, the problem has been, oh, just give them that old junky blind over there. They're just disabled people anyway. No, because a lot of these people are veterans and they're people that have put a lot into this country. They should get the best blind. I know that's the way I'd like to see it, but they should get something that's comparable to everybody else. And our region and our group in Region 5 has been very, very supportive of these blinds. I've got three of them in my area. We put one down at Willapa Bay on federal land there, and we're staged to do more. Again, last year we had a capital budget. We don't know where that's at right now. We don't know where the funding is going to be. We're ready to go on another blind, but we're waiting for the okay from the powers that be. Looking forward to the work that we're doing. It's been a real privilege serving with this group of people. They are amazing. The talent that's with this committee has been... I was in corporate America for 30 years, and these people care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Ken.
Who's for you?
Yes.
Oh, Commissioner Thorburn.
Yeah, I'm going to back us up a little bit. This is one of my favorite reports of the year, annual report from the ADA committee, and talk about the committee a little bit for our new commissioners, because I'm not sure you've heard about it. So this committee is a statutorily required committee, and it is the only advisory committee that reports to us, the commission. And so we get this annual report. You've heard a little bit. They have the quarterly meetings. They travel around a little bit. They are an incredible group, as you're hearing. Commissioner Smith and I have been the commissioners who have taken the responsibility. We get applications. The committee is comprised, as they said, of seven people. Right now, I just didn't hear about the vacancy. It's the six regions and an at-large. I thought it was two at-large.
No, just one at-large.
Just one at-large. Okay, so that makes the seven. So there's a regional rep from each area and the at-large person. Which position is vacant?
The at-large is Melissa Espinosa.
Oh, Melissa.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I'm sure you all miss her.
The missing person is Chuck Grivalia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's the one that in the Sunny Slope area, or Sunnyside area, where we just had two blinds put in. And so that was a huge asset to his area. So people in his area are not only getting the opportunity, and this is not, don't misunderstand that the blinds that we're trying to do and the pavilions and stuff like that, they're not just for hunters and fishermen. These are for people to go and sit in these blinds and observe wildlife. Some of these people are just birders. They just want to go out and see what's available and just be able to sit and relax and take in the nature that's around them. This is not just for the hunters.
I think one of the members actually is more of an observer than participates in the sports. But anyway, we get applicants. They're screened carefully by human resources. We actually do interviews, and I pick the members of the committee. They're somewhat familiar to me because I've seen resumes and that sort of thing. But it's a very intensive screening process. We've had impressive applicants. Sometimes the decisions are really, really difficult. I get to follow Z most closely. He's from my region, and he didn't mention he is actually a board member of the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council too. So he's out there getting the work done. Great partnership there, all of them, as you're hearing, not only are our conduit, the commission's conduit to this community that is so important to us in terms of the five R's, also they're on the ground doing the work, as you've just heard. It's an incredible group, and as I say, it's one of my favorite reports of the year. I always look forward to it. I do have one quick question. Recently, I was at a department meeting, and somebody came to me, and I should know this because we revised the rules on the placard, but said, I have a nephew or something who is totally deaf, and that's not a qualifying disability. What?
Okay, so
is this the legislation that we didn't get through?
Different disabilities rate for different levels of disability and how they are perceived, not only by the state, but also by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So a person who is deaf has a definite, you know, disability. That's one of the five senses.
Yes.
And so that can be very detrimental if you're in an area where there's firearm usage or instructions that need to be given and things like that, and the person isn't actually seeing someone that's giving that instruction. So they need to get with one of us or call us or get hold of Dolores and actually find out exactly what's available to them, because we have a lot of different things. No, they would not qualify for the new blue placard. But that's okay. They still may qualify for disabled hunter or fisherman capability, depending on their physical handicaps other than the hearing. So those are all things that we're always willing to address. We're always willing to help people and at least direct them in the right path. Thank you for asking that question.
Great, thanks.
One comment on that is that I'm out in the world a lot. I'm in the fishing, I'm a hunting guide, and I'm with a wildlife conservation group. So I do a lot of fundraisers and benefits with people. And we, as members of this committee, I get phone calls and questions from people all the time. So they are starting to hear that we are something that is tangible. It's something that we're not just a group that, oh yeah, I've talked to them before. Normally when you contact one of our members, you hear back, you get a response. And as far as the blinds and when we were looking for the blind in Sequim, we stopped by the Audubon Society area up there by Sequim, and they want one. And it's just to put on their property to have the people be able to use it and watch the birds and everything. So they're a very, very value-added tool.
Thank you. Commissioner Anderson?
A couple of questions, because I'm a little new to this. The committee was established when? When was the legislation?
It's been a while.
2010.
That was the original ADA committee, or advisory committee was formed then. We are the third generation, and the first two generations unfortunately left a black eye for the department. Thanks to the scrutiny of Brad Smith and Commissioner Smith and Commissioner Thornburn, and their scrutiny on hiring new persons, I came in the middle of the second generation to fill Region 2. There was a lot of difficulties, and the department had at that time set upon trying to disassemble the ADA advisory committee, because they weren't giving you, the commission, what you needed for information, for the tools that you needed to be able to represent the people in our communities with disabilities. Thank God for people like Sam that came in and helped us to be re-guided and redirected, and Brad, Commissioner Smith. They took time out of their personal lives to see that we could get back on direction and back on focus. And the team that we have now, minus one, have accomplished so much in the last 2 years, far more than ever was thought of doing in the past 10 years before that. So we not only deal with just the things that have been represented today. Some of the other things that you don't see is one of our members, Carol Thorson, she's in Region 6. She's a computer expert, and she's helping to establish a GIS mapping system so that with people with disabilities can go to this map and pick a spot, and then it'll come up on the map and show them what disability access areas or points there are in that area, whether it's for fishing or it's bird watching or hunting or whatever it may be. Maybe it's just an interpretive trail. But as she works with the department and our IT department to get this GIS mapping done, I mean, that's huge.
She's a volunteer.
Yeah, and yeah, because we're just all volunteers. Another thing that's going on is we're trying to access different areas of our waterways, inland lakes, and the Puget Sound and the coast for fishing piers. We see old dilapidated piers, and we want to go in and we're trying to access the, you know, and get the land for the department, and then we'll fix the pier up, and then people with disabilities can go out and use those piers to watch the seagulls or to do some fishing from the pier and things like that. So there's not just the things that we've shared today. There's so much more. We just don't have enough time to tell you all the things that we're involved in. But we are endeavoring to make it easier and more accessible for anybody that has any form of a disability. But the other thing that we're struggling with is to help people to understand what is available. So the communication that we're trying to help establish through our flyers, through our website, through our Facebook, through our other social media accesses, is that if you have a disability, life isn't over for you. There's availabilities and there's opportunities out there for you to be able to enjoy. So that's the other thing that we're working very closely with the department on, is to try and make those things known so that people can understand and they have easy access to find these things out. We're in an age where technology is remarkably moving ahead at a great march and at a great speed, to where it's really hard for individuals like myself to even keep up with what the newer technologies are. I mean, who would have thought that we'd all have an individual cell phone 20 years ago? I mean, something that would give you immediate internet access and things like that. I mean, so technology is surpassing us. I mean, Z was telling me about some of the things that they're doing now with stem cell research for nerve regeneration. I mean, that's incredible to me. But at the same time, we just need your help in the different areas where we're working to try and make sure that the regional directors understand that we're there to help them, and we're there to help the people in our community to understand what the Department of Fish and Wildlife stands for, what resources we have available to them. One of the gentlemen that I'm working with is in a motorized wheelchair. He tells me it weighs 750 pounds. He also tells me that there are several areas that he cannot access. So he and I are working on a mapping program in Region 2 to be able to come up with those facilities, whether they're state or otherwise, and I have to, you know, he's a ball of fire, but he says that some of the fishing piers, when he tries to go down them with his wheelchair, it begins to tip with him. And so that's a concern. I mean, we don't want somebody in a 750-pound wheelchair rolling off of a dock when he really wants to be out there just fishing. So those are some of the things that we're trying to address as well. It's because we want them to enjoy these facilities.
So a little bit of follow-up. So I'm assuming that most of the work is on state wildlife lands, but it isn't exclusive.
Correct.
Because there may be bodies of water or whatever that, I don't know, leases or other access that you are.
Well, if we have DNR, you know, BLM, you know, different state lands is okay. What we try to act to focus on, because then we don't have the difficulties with, you know, the land purchases as we would if it was a private individual, unless it's an incident like what happened on the North Wenatchee River. That was an area, it was 0.83 miles of riverfront that was going to be developed into individual homes sites, and they would be waterfront home sites. Very expensive, very nice. There was a group, the Wenatchee Sportsmen, that I'm one of the officers for, helped to come up with the money, almost $500,000, to purchase this body of land. And it is some of the most beautiful land along the Wenatchee River. It's the upper Wenatchee River. And along with the agreement for trying to do all this, we agreed as a committee to deed this land over to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So it would be held in perpetuity for all of the public and all the people in North Central Washington to be able to enjoy. That happened. I mean, Commissioner Grabiel can testify how beautiful this area is. We have osprey, we have eagles, we have king salmon, we have sockeye, we have all kinds of fish that are jumping in the waters right there that you can go down and sit on a sandy beach on any given day. There's interpretive trails now along that area. There's a roadway that's being worked on each year by different organizations and different groups that'll hopefully one day become a trail all the way from Wenatchee all the way to Leavenworth, so that people with bicycles or even motorized wheelchairs and stuff like that would be able to access these kind of areas. And, you know, so those are the kind of things that we're trying to do as well.
So one of my questions is, are the facilities and improvements that are going on under the auspices of the committee and the department, those I assume are also available to in many instances to non-disabled people?
Certainly
too,
to the public, to the general public.
So it's a general public, so it's an equal benefit. It's just a matter of making them available and accessible to,
yes, sir,
to others.
That's correct.
And then I guess the final question is, with regard to fishing and hunting and the regulation process, I've, you know, hunted, fished for all my life, and it really is, seems like it's only been the past dozen years or so where there's actually been some recognition on disabled hunters or disabled fishers in the regulations. And to what extent, what kind of relationship and input is afforded to the committee or to the interest to promulgate those kind of regulations, or to not promulgate, but to input so that those considerations are taken into account?
When we started on this committee, it was in dire straits. There was a lot of discontent between the staff, and this was a no holds barred. We're going to make this work, or it's going to go away. What we decided is that we were going to, with our ADA advisory committee, and what we were going to do is we were going to advise you to make Washington State the most wheelchair disabled access in the nation. We set out to put facilities and list all the facilities and make that knowledge available to them. Yes, we were very close with our local regional managers, especially our local biologists. The staff here has been so supportive on what we're doing, and the commission. It's been really a pleasure to work with. And I think that mindset of, we're all getting there. Pretty soon we're living so long that I just pushed 65 and I'm still out there playing. So we want to be able to use these facilities, and we've made some beautiful construction sites, and we're making stuff that's going to last a really long time. So making Washington State saying, well, let's go to Washington, they welcome us, that's what we want to see as a committee.
Commissioner Anderson, I wanted to add to that. You had asked about land, and it's not always about land. A lot of things are educational programs, just having a resource to where someone calls in and talks to one of us. And a lot of times what will happen is they'll call in, for me, call into the Region 1 office, and I'll talk with them, and they'll say, hey, I've got somebody that wants to know about this. And then on top of that, it may be, I know a lot of the adaptive equipment and assistive technology for persons with visual impairments. My engineering background, I don't know of anything off the top of my head. Give me a little time and I'll actually design something if we need to for persons with hearing impairment as far as what they may need. And part of that's going to come back to, again, receiving the information. What is it that you're needing? Dan had talked about possibly they're on a shooting range and they can't hear different commands. What else can we do for that? And so it's a lot more than just the land access. It's processes. Mm-hmm. And then to follow up with your last question, a lot of that, getting that information, working out some ideas, and then being able to bring them back to the commission and say, hey, we've got some ideas. How do we help? How can you help us implement them?
Commissioner Thorburn?
Yeah, if I could just, you mentioned regulations. Sam, who they've referred to, is a lawyer who works in human resources and works with the group. And he, working with the group, updated our regulations that relate to persons with disabilities and how you get the placard and that sort of thing. And we adopted those. So we do, yeah, they have helped us with
that. That was a big project for us last year in 2018 was the department came to us and said, how do we update the regulations? Because at that time, the regulations that were in place for people with disability did not allow enforcement to be able to regulate what was happening in the field. So we went in, and it took us several months and quite a few meetings to sit down and go through the regulations one at a time and working with Sam to get the right verbiage and all that kind of stuff. We were actually able to change not only the regulations so that they were clearer and more representative of the people with disabilities, but we were also able to change it so that our enforcement team would be able to enforce these things, because just because they're disabled doesn't mean that they're going to necessarily follow the rules either. You know, everybody needs a little bit of direction every now and then. And unfortunately, there's some people more than others. But so the other thing that we did was that we were also able, because people with disabilities are spending usually a lot of money just to be able to get through everyday life, whether it's a wheelchair or braces or the doctor's appointments and medical costs involved. So we changed the fees also for people with disability to where we made it so that it was a win-win for not only the department but also for the public, so that when they came and they bought a license and some tags and things like that, they were able to afford those more readily. And so that was another huge change. So not only changing the regs for disability usage and enforcement, but also the fees involved with that. So that was our big project for last year, along with the hunting blinds, shooting pavilions, fishing docks, and some of the other interpretive things in the GIS mapping. So thank you for your questions.
Well, this is a very inspiring briefing you brought us, and we're really blessed on this commission because we have Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner Smith that have been driving it very, very positively. We're going to have to move on. We've got a full afternoon. I think it's fair to speak for the entire commission. We very much support what you're doing. We're here to help. Give us a little guidance on what help you need as we move forward, and I think it's fair to say we will do everything we can.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, commission, for having us today.
Thank you, folks.
Appreciate your time.
Bye.